today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
It doesn't matter what I feel all the time. What matters the most is, what has he said? And do I believe that? Even before he made the world, God loved us. Before you had a chance to mess it up, he loved you. Before you had a chance, he already loved you. And he chose us in Christ Jesus. He loved you and he picked you. Before you had a chance to blow it, he already loved you and he already picked you.
Parents, do you remember the excitement of pregnancy? Sure, there was fear, many trips to the restroom, and overall unease. But do you remember all those nights where you just couldn't wait to meet the little one? Before they were even out of the womb, you loved them. Today, Pastor James teaches that similarly, God loved and cherished you before you were even born. If you ever feel inadequate, just remember this. He knew all you'd be capable of and hand-selected you for the tasks that he's assigned you to. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some bread to the broken. We need hope for the hopeless. Give some hope to the hopeless, hopeless. Bread for the broken, broken.
There's a lot of aspects to who God is that we're going to talk about today in Ephesians, and I hope you walk away today just so amazed by how awesome he is, how great God is, okay? Subject matter for today is, it's a fun one, it's interesting. We're going to be dealing with this subject of predestination and a little bit of adoption as well. And, you know, within the church world, I never knew this was a problem. I honestly had no idea there was this thing about, like, predestination and, you know, Calvinism and Arminianism. I went to Bible college. I just got saved when I went to Bible college, so I had no clue about any of this stuff. And I was better off because of it, honestly. Because then you get into Bible college and it's like, no, this guy's saying this. No, this guy's saying this. And I'm like, look, here's what I know. He sent his son to die on the cross for my sins. And that was a free gift from him presented to me. And I said, yes. I said, I'm all in. And that's good for me. That's good enough for me. Did he know about it way back then? Well, he's God. If he didn't, then I picked the wrong God. If God's surprised by who gets saved, you're following the wrong God. He already knows. He already knows. So is it our choice? Is it his choice? Yeah, sure. Thumbs up. Like, just say yes. Just say yes. The common illustration that's used for this, and we'll get into the text, but the common illustration that's used to this is if you're entering into a building, a facility, and above the door it says, whosoever will, you know, come, whosoever will. And you walk through that door and you turn around and the sign behind you as you've entered in the door says, from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, you know, chosen from the foundation of the world. And you're like, well, which was it? And you're like, it's both, kind of both. I don't want to simplify it to a certain extent. I know that, you know, there's some depth to this, obviously. But I also want to take some of the weight off of it, maybe for your heart. And so you can just enjoy the fact that he loves you, he picked you, he did everything for you, because you wouldn't have done it. You couldn't have done it. And I agree with, I believe it was D.L. Moody, I could be wrong on this, but who said, I praise God that he picked me before I was born, because I don't think he would have picked me after I had lived, okay? So I'm like, amen to that. Praise God for that. Now, we'll get into this, but just as a reminder, context-wise, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. Now, this is key. He is not so much writing to a specific person. He is writing to the church. This is key for this next part, okay? So he is writing to the church, more specifically in Ephesus, but yes, this would be shared around to other churches. This is a prayer. This is just like the one sentence, verses 3 through 14. It's just one continual run-on sentence and all that good stuff. But this is just like an outburst of praise from the Apostle Paul. How we know that is because he'll repeat himself, which means that he is so consumed by God's glory and how good he is that he repeats himself throughout this prayer. It's an overabundance flowing from him of like, God is so good. God is so good. And I hope and I pray, if you were to memorize a portion of scripture, I would highly suggest 3 through 14. but that you and I would get to the point where it's just flowing out of us because we cannot contain how good he is, how good he is. I don't know much about you. I know plenty about myself, and I know that I'm not good, but praise God that he is. And I can celebrate that, and you and I can celebrate that, and that should be flowing freely from us. So jump back into verse 3. We've been going at a snail's pace with Ephesians, and we'll continue on. It'll pick up speed in like a month. So verse 3, it says, I'm in the New Living Translation. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Again, I want you to note that little pronoun there, us, the church. Okay? Now, can you personalize that and say you? Yes. But initially, when this letter was written, it is written to us, the church. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we, church, are united with Christ. So it's solely based on our connection to Jesus. Remember, this is not an individual thing. This is a corporate thing. Even before he made the world, God loved us. Yes, you individually, but never forget, he loves the church. The church is his idea. The church is his plan. The church is his bride. Never forget that. He chose us in Christ to be holy, to be set apart, and without fault in his eyes. Now, we know this from the Apostle Paul in other books that concerning the church, it would be presented to him as spotless. Spotless. Is the church spotless? Oh, no. Oh, no. Are there wrinkles within the church? Oh, there's wrinkles within the church. Are there blemishes within the church? Oh, there are blemishes within the church. There are. But we don't do away with the church. Okay? And this is kind of the common thing nowadays. Like, the church messes up, well, we're done with church. That's not smart. That's not smart. That seems like a good idea from the enemy. If you take a step back, did the church fail you? Well, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Have you been hurt by the church before? Welcome to the club. We all have. We all have. We've either caused the offense or we're directly affected by the offense. It's people. We're people. We're sinners. We're sinners gathering corporately to worship Jesus. I hope and I pray that that's the motivation behind it. People are going to get hurt. People are going to say something to you that might offend you. Okay? You may do something that might offend somebody else. You may not call somebody to check on them when they needed it the most. Look, I've been there. I've done that many times to people. I'm not proud of that. That's also happened to me as well, but I don't quit on the body because of that. I don't do that. You don't do that. I hope you don't do that within your family. You don't do that with those you are connected with so intimately. I hope. Now, I understand family dynamics. I've walked through several stories of family dynamics where things have happened. And maybe there's a safety concern or any, listen, I'm well aware of all that stuff. And if it's a safety thing, let's put it back into the church world. If it's a safety thing or whoever's up here is teaching false things, heretical things, then for safety's sake, you move. You find where the Lord wants you to be, okay? If somebody offends you, you don't go running for a new church. You don't go running for a new church. You don't, okay? You toughen up, all right? This is dad speaking here, right? Like, you shake it off. You just toughen up a little bit, all right? And we got to keep going. We got to keep going. Now, if it's a safety thing or if it's like heretical stuff, or then yeah, then it may be time to move on. Or if some of you are here because God, your time at one place was done and God moved you on. Well, praise God for that, okay? What we want to avoid is bailing on the church because, well, somebody said something I didn't like. I'm sorry. But I experience that almost all the time in life. And you don't get to just run away. You don't get to just run away. So he's chosen the church. And right now, this is the age of the church. Israel was chosen as a nation. They weren't impressive. They weren't the biggest and the baddest on the block. He chose the smallest and quote unquote most insignificant to draw praise and glory to himself. There was a time where it was a time for Israel. Ultimately, you've read through the Gospels, I would trust, that they rejected Jesus. And so then he turns to the Gentiles. And now Gentiles get saved. And this thing called the church is established in the book of Acts. This is his doing. Jesus builds his church. It belongs to him. He's the head of the church, right? So this is part of his plan. So from right now until, I would think, whenever the rapture happens, that's the time of the church. So right now, we embrace the fact that he has chosen and selected to fulfill his will on this planet using the church, which you are part of. You're a building block within the body of Christ. Why? Because God picked you. Because God picked you. Because he has picked the church. He wants to do it this way, using a collective body of people to work out his will on this planet. And that means that you participate within that. Because predestination means that you have been selected beforehand for a reason. That's what predestination means. We always limit it just to salvation. That's not what it's limited to. Did he predestine you to be saved? Sure. But if you stay there, you miss out on so much more. Because technically, the word predestination means to be predetermined for use or for something down the road. I'll simplify it like that. So this is part of why I would say, you know, we need to stop getting so caught up in, well, did he pick some? Does he not pick others? That's not my business. That's not my business. And let me relieve the pressure from you. That's not your business either, because you can neither save nor condemn anybody. If somebody ends up in heaven, it's not because of you per se, but it's because the Holy Spirit did a work inside of their hearts. He saved them. He transformed them. If somebody ends up in hell, it's not because of you. They trample over the body of Christ to get to hell. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a decision. Here's the deal. Because we don't know, this is why you share the gospel with anyone and everyone. Share the gospel with people. I know I have friends. I know people who get caught up in this thing of like, very, you know, reformed and all that good stuff and all the 5 points, Calvinism and all that stuff. And like, well, we don't feel like we should share the gospel because God's already predetermined who's going to get saved. And I say, but then you're not obeying Jesus in my understanding of the Great Commission to go and make disciples. Part of making disciples is sharing the gospel. We should be sharing the gospel. Part of what we see all throughout the book of Acts is Paul and Peter and guys sharing the gospel of Jesus and people getting saved. We have this tremendous opportunity as his children, if you belong to Jesus, to share the gospel with anybody and everybody. And it's a blessing. It really is a blessing. I can promise you this, in my experience with this, I've been way more blessed in sharing the gospel with people than I think that they ever were in that sense. It's like going on a mission trip and you're going and you're going to serve this specific group of people. You're just so stoked because it's like, man, we get to show up and we get to represent Jesus to these people. They're going to be so blessed by this. And then you walk away and you're like, I was more blessed than they were. I don't know what happened with them, but man, I am overflowing with this. It was so good for my soul. The same as with sharing the gospel. The same as with sharing the gospel. They may not receive it. They may reject it. Not your business. Your business is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ and to represent him and share the gospel. And then there's a high that comes with that, that nothing on this world can touch. Nothing in this world can touch. This is what you as an individual, but us as a church have been called. And this is why he has predestined us. He has set apart from the very beginning. I want to use these people. I want to use this method to accomplish my will on this planet. So what remains is this. Well, are you in or are you out? Because the plan's in place. And it's either with you or without you. And I think even that applies to some Christians. You're either in it or you're sitting on the sidelines. Which are you most happy with? Which are you most content with? And I've used this illustration before, but I played basketball in high school. The worst place is the bench. I didn't sign up to play basketball to sit on the bench. I've signed up to play basketball to be in the game. What I didn't realize when I said yes to Jesus was I was signing up to be in the game. And that same mentality sticks with me even to this day, to where it's like, I didn't sign up to sit the bench. I didn't sign up, quote unquote, for this thing to like sit over here while other people got to do this stuff and participate. No, you have one shot in this life. The life you have, that's all you get. This is it. And it's only here that you share the gospel. You don't share the gospel in heaven. Because they're already saved. That's settled. But here, we have the opportunity He has set the church apart. He has predestined his people for this thing. That's not even the whole of the thing. The whole of the thing is that he is glorified, that he gets praise. Paul's kind of laying this stuff out to the group of believers there in Asia Minor 2,000 years ago, and it directly applies to us here in Galveston to this day. But even before, so be encouraged. I don't know how you view yourself or anything like that, or even what your day is like or your week has been like. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. This should be a blessing, an encouragement for you that before he created anything, he was already thinking about you. The Bible is so good about this, right? Hebrews chapter 12. What was he thinking about on his way to the cross? You. Before he created everything, what was he thinking about? You. He thought about you. That's amazing. That should be so encouraging. And you may be thinking like, well, but why? I'm not, stop it. Stop. Stop disqualifying yourself. If you're his kid, you're his kid. How he sees you is through his son, covered by his blood. I was talking to my buddy at that event Thursday night, and he says it's like he's got Jesus goggles on, right? Everything he sees, when he looks at us, it's with this filter, the blood of Christ, and that's how he sees us. That's how he sees you. I know it may not feel like that all the time. I understand you may have a rough week. I get it. I don't always feel like this, but it doesn't matter what I feel all the time. What matters the most is, what has he said? And do I believe that? Even before he made the world, God loved us. Before you had a chance to mess it up, he loved you. Before you had a chance, he already loved you. And he chose us in Christ Jesus. He loved you and he picked you. Before you had a chance to blow it, he already loved you and he already picked you. So there does come a time, because we know you've read the Bible and all that good stuff. I'm sure you come across different verses where Jesus is telling his disciples, you didn't pick me, but I chose you, right? And you're like, well, where do I put all that stuff? And well, I would encourage you with this, because I've seen those verses pop up and I've seen the argument pop up and all that stuff. Number one, you got to check the context. What's he saying? He's talking to the disciples, right? Well, was he talking about how he called them into the ministry and they didn't necessarily come looking for him, so to speak? Some of them did. Could be. This is sometimes the problem with the church. We get so distracted on, I'm going to call them open-handed issues, so to speak. Okay, now salvation is a closed-fisted issue. Did he pick me? Did I pick him? Well, he picked you. And then the gospel is presented to you, and ultimately you say yes to Jesus. I hope that's happened for you. If not, hey, today's a good day to surrender. Because I like using that word better than, I never picked him. I didn't pick Jesus. He found me. I wasn't looking for Jesus. He found me, presented me with the option, hey, you want to follow me? And I said, yes, I surrender to him. That's how I choose to view this whole thing. Don't get too distracted or running down these rabbit holes or trails or whatever they call that stuff. It just study, you know, if this is your deal, man, study into it, all that good stuff. But I've had a lot of friends who've started off down this path and studying this. They don't even go to church anymore. They don't even go to church anymore. Because they were bound and determined to figure out, well, does he pick us or do we pick him? And now they don't even go to church anymore. And I'm like, well, that seems silly. What I'm going to do is just this. Lord, you picked me. Sweet. Thank you so much. That's good enough for me. I said yes to the free invitation of salvation. That's the role I played in it. And now, 20 years later, I just want to abide in him. I just want to abide in Jesus. I want to abide in the vine. I want to bear fruit for him. I'm not worried about losing my salvation. That is no concern for me at all. Not at all. Why? Because I just want to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. That's it. And there's so much freedom with that. But we were picked, chosen for a reason in Christ to be holy, set apart. And we talked about this last week. Without fault or blameless in his eyes. That's the key. Blameless or faultless in his eyes. In his eyes. You're a train wreck. Sweet. So am I. Praise God. When he looks down on us, you know what he sees? Precious sons and daughters covered by his son's blood. Faultless. Blameless. Doesn't mean you don't sin. But in Christ, those sins have been covered by the blood. which also means we don't abuse that as some have done. They use that as a license to sin more, right? Paul even addressed that in the book of Romans. Well, if God's grace abounds, then shouldn't sin abound more? Like, well, so then the more I sin, the more grace I get. That's like, that's idiocy. And it's like, you know, highest form, okay? To be like, that's nothing about a relationship. Because he forgives, it stirs within my heart to want to draw closer to him and to sin less. Will we still sin? Yeah. But man, I want to do it less and less because I love him more and more. Because his grace is poured out within my life more and more. I want to move away from those things that are trying to separate me from him. And I want to draw closer to him. So we're holy, set apart, without fault in his eyes. Verse 5, here you go. God decided in advance, or this is another way of saying predestined. He decided in advance to adopt us, remember us, church, into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Verse goes on to say, this is what he wanted to do. And he gave him great pleasure. There you go. You're like, well, I don't know about this. Hey, that's what he wants to do. So he decided beforehand to predestine people to adoption. To adoption. That's a beautiful word, especially if you're not Jewish. Now, not all Jews are guaranteed salvation. I hope you know that. Only there is one way, and it's through Jesus, period, okay? But praise God that he opened this up to a bunch of Gentiles, which I am. Ancestry, DNA, whatever that thing is, has told me I am a Gentile. If I've learned anything, I don't know where I come from, but I know this. I'm a Gentile, okay? So I didn't really doubt it, but I figured that out. But praise God that, no, that's not what I am anymore. Because in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's a new race. It's called the Christian. You're part of a family. And it's because of his grace, you've been grafted in. You've been adopted in. And what that word means here, because this is a fascinating word, this adoption thing, how it would directly appeal and relate to the Roman listeners. Because for the Jews, this wasn't as a common thing as it was for the Gentiles. To take someone, and usually it was a male, and to bring them into your family and give them equal status as your child, that's a big deal. And it didn't happen all that often, but it would happen back then. And the amazing thing about some of these stories is you would have slaves who were adopted into a family and given equal standing with sons. That's amazing. That's what Paul is talking about. How it was part of God's plan, not humanity's plan, but it was part of God's plan to take slaves and to make them sons within the family. Because that technically is what you are. Now, don't get crazy with me on this gender thing, but when it comes to adoption, generally it was with sons. And the son, usually, and we're talking about the oldest son within the family, was like given first rights. Right? The inheritance and all that stuff was going to be given to them. So Paul is going off of that concept and saying, look, because of Jesus and because of God's goodness and his grace within our lives, he has chosen you, an unworthy you, to be a part of his family.
We're so glad you joined us for today's edition of Bread for the Broken. Pastor James is teaching through the book of Job. And as we reflect on the book of Job, we're reminded of one of Scripture's most awe-inspiring truths. God isn't like us. When Job cried out in confusion and pain, God didn't give easy answers. He gave a powerful glimpse of his majesty. Through thunder, whirlwind, and creation itself, God revealed his infinite wisdom and eternal power. Job came face to face with the truth. While we are limited, God is limitless. While we see in part, God sees the whole. It's a humbling reminder that though we might not always understand his ways, we can always trust his greatness. We hope today's message encouraged you and pointed you to the hope and new life found only in Jesus Christ. That's what we're all about here at Calvary Galveston, helping people from all walks of life discover the freedom, grace, and truth that comes from knowing him. If you're ever in the Galveston, Texas area, we would love to meet you. So come join us for worship on Sundays at 10 a.m. Our church is laid back, simple, and focused on magnifying Jesus. If you can't make it in person, no problem. We also stream our services live on Facebook. If today's broadcast has blessed you, then consider supporting the ministry. Your donations can help us share the love of Jesus with a world that's hungry for hope. Just visit breadforthebroken.com to give or to learn more. Thanks again for tuning in and spending time in God's Word. Be sure to join us again soon for the next edition of Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you.